Let's all stand, please. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Actually, we're going to begin reading in Acts chapter 6. I'm going to try to tell a story that's all connected to this, and I do not know. It's been too many years to remember the truth of something. Meaning the facts. I know the broad facts, but not the specifics. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. Everybody find that? Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. Now, folks, this sermon is the other half of this morning, and it's very intentional. It will not be to try to get you to do anything. Tonight's message is just going to answer a question. How does God work? That's it. I have no other purpose. So when you walk out of here tonight, I want you to understand how God works. You will be happy with some, you'll be ecstatic with others, and you'll be disappointed in one. Three simple truths. I do not remember exactly how I came to this. It was either I was revisiting a verse in my office in St. Louis in the year probably 1990, and I can be very specific because of something that happened in the church. Something happened in the church in the very December of 1989, and 1990 is when I came across this. So chapter 6, verse 7, it could have been I was reading these kind of, I don't know what the term is, they're a pattern in the book of Acts. Verse 7, and the word of God did what? And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Chapter 9, please. Chapter 9 and verse 31. I'm not teaching any kind of heavy introduction to the book of Acts. But if you do any reading on the book of Acts, you will find that how do you structure it? What is it about? And one of the themes is this, the progress of the gospel. From the very beginning until the end of Acts 28, near the end of Paul's ministry. Verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Chapter 12, verse 24, please. Chapter 12, verse 24, this is obviously the key, if I could say a key verse. When you read all of chapter 12, and this is my conclusion on that day in my office in 1990, which is a long time ago, reading, this was the verse. But the word of God, but on the other hand, the word of God grew and multiplied. Chapter 16, verse 5, please. 16 and verse 5. If this just happened twice, you wouldn't think anything of it. But when it happens this many times, you know that this is one of Luke's. He's trying to tell you a story. This is how God works. Broadly conceived. 16, verse 5. So were all the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. 19, verse 20. 19 and verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And by the way, folks, that verse comes out of a mess. You read chapter 19, things were a disaster. All right, chapter 28, the last chapter in the book, verse 30. This is not as obvious, but it's the concluding two verses. Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house. So this is Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. Most conservatives, of which I am one, believe that Paul was imprisoned twice in Rome. He was released eventually from this imprisonment, went out, had some ministry, was re-imprisoned, and under Nero was eventually executed. To know those exact dates is beyond mine and your ability to know. But somewhere under Nero, Nero became emperor in 54 and committed suicide in 68 A.D., probably 64 or a little more, 65. But it's hard to know exactly. So Paul, this is his first imprisonment, hear carefully, in Rome. He was imprisoned other places. He 2 years, he just kind of had his own place that he had to pay for. It says, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. All right, back to Acts chapter 12. Verse 5. Now, I do not know if I was studying those references and then read Acts 12, or this is more likely. So everyone look up here. Let me just say this. We're standing. That's okay. 30 minutes, I'm done. Are you all ready for this? This is a fact. I was taught from the preaching, from the pulpit, how not to read the Bible. The book that the pastor of the church published, I have it at my office, on preaching, this is what he said to do. Go through the Bible looking for verses or phrases that preach. Which tells you that you don't have to really worry about what the Bible says. You just grab little phrases and then download on them what I call Baptist theology. I don't do that. Have you figured out I don't do that? No, we really haven't. But it is so common that we start thinking that's the way you handle Scripture. It's just by grabbing a verse and saying something about it, as opposed to week after week dealing with Scripture. Well, verse 5. It's one of my favorite verses. I love the verse. Of course, we'll see the verse doesn't say everything the chapter says. Chapter 12, verse 5. I am sure that I was reading this verse. It says, Peter, therefore, was kept where? In prison. But prayer was made. And then it starts listing how this prayer was made without ceasing. Of or by the church. So you have two characteristics. It was prayer, but not only prayer, but it was without ceasing. And it was done by the church. It was done unto God. And it was done for him. That verse still sticks in my heart. Look at me in the eyes. This is what I did. I had the audacity. I read the whole chapter. Because the whole chapter, remember verse 24? No, you don't. Let's look back. Let's not skip it. Verse 24. The whole chapter concludes by saying this, but the word of God, what? Grew and multiplied. So it's not verse 5, it's the whole chapter. What we're going to do in 30 minutes is try to deal with the whole chapter. What's my question? How does God work? So this morning, we dealt with the whole subject of miracles. Miracles and staged or stacks. Miracles, wonders, signs. Why doesn't God perform them most of the time? Tonight we're going to talk about how God actually works. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you for this time. May this be a profitable night. May I be a help. That's my only desire. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How does God work? Again, I don't know if I was just reading Acts chapter 12, verse 5. And for some strange reason, decided to read the whole chapter. But when I read the whole chapter, this is what I remember happening. Have you ever had this happen to you? All of a sudden, I actually understood, look at me, the chapter, not a verse plucked out of context. And then I understood the whole chapter is telling us how God works. Now, Tim, you will understand, and Dada to some degree, in one setting, in 30 seconds, I wrote three sermons. That never happens. Now, I didn't finish them out, but I wrote the structure. It was like, wow, I never saw that before. Through the last 30 years, I have thought often about this text. Verses 1 and 2, which we'll come to, I was shocked. Verses 5, I was happy. If you're happy with prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him, wonderful. But you haven't read 6 and following. Because then it's like, what? And then you get down to the end when I really get happy. What God did with Herod Agrippa the first. But I can't, and by the way, I preach 2 of those sermons. I have them written in my Bible that I use at home. I never preach the third sermon. Because, Jenny, do you know what was going on during that time? What had I found out in December, January of 19, 89 and 1990, I found out there was somebody in the church stealing $20,000 to $40,000 a year. And I had to deal with that in my first pastorate, and I was like, blah, blah, blah. And the last sermon, by the way, it's about Herod Agrippa the First when God struck him dead. Do you know I can still remember the sermon? I have never preached it. The first point was, no man is above God's law. The second point was, no man is beyond God's reach. And the third point was to bring some mercy, and no man is beneath God's mercy. I was going to talk about, but why didn't I? You know, don't you, Jenny? Because to say that, the man in the church would have known I was talking about him. Believe it or not, I don't preach to you. Well, not normally. I might say mean things to people, but not as bad as Atong says about some people. How does God work? Well, I'm not going to give notes tonight, so if you want to write down, you do what you want. Let's start in chapter 12 and verse 1. We'll spend more time here than the rest. And friends, I could easily spend three services just on these three sections. Are you ready? How does God work? So, by the way, what should you expect in your life? You should expect in your life what happens in this text. This is how God works. Number one, God works in the silence. Verse 1. About that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex, to in some way harm, oppress, or something, certain of the church. Now, who was this Herod? Friends, we don't have time. I'll give it to you in 30 seconds. Herod the Great. Everybody heard of him? Herod the Great died a long time before this. He died in the B.C. period of time. That's how we know the dating's off in the birth of Jesus, about 4 years, because Herod the Great died, but he had to be alive when Jesus was a baby. This is not him. This is not the next generation. Herod Agrippa the First, that's the guy, is third generation. His last name, or not last name, one of his names was Agrippa. That's Roman. There's more Agrippas and Agrippinas than you can count when you read Roman history. And Herod Agrippa the First grew up in Rome with somebody by the name of Emperor Caligula, Gaius Caligula. He was a friend when Gaius Caligula was assassinated. He was there. Gaius Caligula gave him the kingdom, and he became a big deal because his friendship with the emperor. Okay? Gaius Caligula followed Tiberius, 37 to 41 AD. After that is Claudius in the New Testament, Acts 12, Acts 19, and then comes good old Nero, not mentioned, but definitely there. So, Herod Agrippa I decides, because he really tried to ingratiate himself with Jewish people, he decided to harm the church. And by the way, friend, here it is. Are you ready? God works in the silence. It says, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Look at me, and that's all it says. Now, friends, if Herod Agrippa, look up here, would have killed Thaddeus, you wouldn't have cared because you don't know who Thaddeus is. There was another Simon, the Canaanite, or he was the, what's the word? He was a revolutionary, zealot, zelotes. By the way, we don't know anything about him. Is James important in the New Testament? It was Peter, James, and John. One of the three is just dead, and what does God say? God works in the silence. And when you come to read the end of the chapter, when it says the word of God, well, it says it in verse, let me read it again. I want to read it exactly. Verse 24, the word of God grew and multiplied. Friends, how God works is sometimes in the silence. This is not only one of the apostles, this is one of the central three. We have this in the Bible. I'm just going to mention several occasions. When I read the scripture, there are certain people that you look and you think, Lord, why did you let that person die? James is one of them. One of them is Jonathan. Would not David have been a better man if Jonathan would have lived? Look at me. Why did God let Jonathan die with Saul? And the answer? No, the answer. Frenchie, you got it the first time. Silence! Nothing. You don't have the third guy in the Bible? Josiah. I can hardly read the story because you know how it's going to end. Here is the most godly king in the south, Josiah and Hezekiah. He's the last godly king, and he just decides, I'm going to fight the Pharaoh. And he gets killed. And we know from Chronicles that God spoke to him and said, do not do this. Did it anyhow. My friends, there is always silence. There are periods of silence. There are events of silence. There are situations of loud silence. Silence is sometimes the only sound we hear. When I think back in my time here at Lake County, some things, and oh, I forgot to tell you, maybe you're not me, and I'm pretty sure you'd have to talk to my wife if you want to know how weird I am. I have to understand stuff. Things bother me. For 8 years, I pastored a church that every tragedy I understood. I'm here 27 years. I can't understand the tragedies. I've gotten to the place where I just have to put that aside because I'll go nuts trying to understand. Oh, I'm going to read some verses. How long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Have you read those recently? In my 27 years here, I have lost people that I loved as much as life for various reasons. Some have moved. Some have moved stupidly. Let's be real, stupidly. But I've also, by the way, there's a guy, you sat right down here about fourth, fifth row. I think his name was Mr. Losi. I knew he was going to die, but I can miss that guy every day. I still, to my lifetime, in my whole history of life, I've never met a guy that just decided, I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to help, that would walk in here and go to Bambi or who, or not to Jan, because he didn't like Jan. Hi, Jan. He would go to the teachers and say something as dumb as this. What do you need? He'd have that little pencil, Jan. He had a card in his pocket. He'd write down. Now, when he got older, he couldn't do any of it. He would forget. But when he was young, he would just do stuff. By the way, I love the guy to death, but I expected him to die in time. Yes? How about these names? Sam Labasi. I have no reason why he died. Look me in the eyes. And I see no value in his death. Have you? I haven't seen people get saved because he died. I haven't seen people be helped because he died. God just decided, here's this wonderful, absolutely insane. By the way, the most insane young man I ever met. Smart, creative. He was really one of these Renaissance kind of people. He knew music, art. He knew food. He knew decorations. He was smart. He was an engineer. God just did what? Number two, Rick Lovelette. He sat over here. At this period of time, I still have no reason. Look at me. Do you know that God works in the silence? Your first week here, Wednesday night, I wasn't here. I was at the hospital. Yep, and I knew he was dead then. Family didn't accept it. Kept him artificially breathing till the next morning or something. Mm-hmm. You know who the third one is? He sat right back here, or right over here. He was a young guy. Most of you don't remember. Handsome. Levi Nichols. Why is he gone? By the way, ain't nobody in the family done better since he's been gone. Shelby's doing better at times. The daughter, the youngest daughter, wants her kids to do well, but you say, you're being cruel. Listen to me, folks. I haven't seen the value of any one of the three of them leaving us. I haven't seen revival. I haven't seen people get saved. God works in the silence. You say, God, why did you let this happen? And my answer is silence. And sometimes the silence is loud. We move on. Do you all understand? By the way, you're going to have problems your entire Christian life unless you understand how God works. Get over the sermons about victory, because none of that stuff works. And even when you have victory in chapter 12, it's kind of an odd one. We move to the second point, the second idea, please. Chapter 12 and verse 3. Here's the second part of the chapter. This is how God works. This is how the word of God increases and multiplies. And because it pleased the Jews, because Herod was well known from Josephus, the Roman historian, the Roman Jewish historian, he was known that he loved to please the Jews because it made the kingdom go better. It says, so Herod, because it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Hey, if you're going to kill one, kill two. Then were the days, the King James mistranslates, of unleavened bread. It is the day of Passover. That's down in verse 4. Easter is Passover. It goes on to say, so it was that period of time of unleavened bread, Passover, verse 4. And when he was apprehended him, they captured Peter, put him in prison, delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers. And I am sure that all of you know what quaternion means, correct? Quarter, you can probably figure it out. It means four groups of four. Six, by the way, he had Peter under prison, under jailers, four groups of four. That's a lot of people, just to keep one guy named Peter. It goes on to say, intending after, and by the way, this was a Jewish holiday. They really wouldn't have cared about Easter. It's Pascha, Tapascha, which is translated every time in the New Testament, Passover. That's what it should be, Passover. So we're talking about the Jews. And they didn't want to do it during the feast, so he wants to do it after the feast, after Passover, to bring him forth to the people and, of course, execute him too, to please the Jews. Here's the verse, friends. I said first, God works in the silence. Number two, God works through our supplication. You know, 1 Timothy 2. First, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I mean, supplication, prayers, intercessions, different words for the broad same concept. So here it is. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, under guard, is the idea. Friends, this is beautiful. This is how God works. But prayer was made without ceasing of or by the church unto God for him. So you're saying, pray. What do we do? Sometimes we have silence. Sometimes the church knows it pours out its heart to God, and it's very good. This passage is so helpful, but I'm not going to preach on it. It's so helpful in the subject of prayer because it keeps prayer focused. It's prayer by the church, so it's a group of people. It's prayer without ceasing. It's prayers unto God, and it's prayers for a very specific thing. It's not God bless the missionaries. It's God bring healing to the sweet little daughter of the Nelson family. It's specific. God, Peter's in prison. Everyone look at me. Do you know the rest of the story? So did God just use our prayers and supplications? Oh, what a mess. Let's start. We'll just read. All we can do is read. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So, I mean, he had the four guys, probably. The four groups of four, I'm guessing, split up time. So he was chained to two guys, and two guys guarded the door. It says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him. You say, what is it like to have an angel of the Lord come to you? I don't know. I've had my wife wake me up, and I don't know if that was an angel of the Lord or not, but it says the angel of the Lord came to him, and a light shined in the prison, and he had to whack Peter. Smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. And old King James English, he wist not. Wist is an old Anglo-Saxon German word. It means he did not know that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Have you ever gone to bed dreaming of something? Look at me. He's dreaming of what? Getting out of prison. He's thinking, I'm in a dream. Sometimes I go to dream thinking about pizza, and I wake up smelling pizza. I mean, he's dreaming of getting out. He thinks he's in a vision, you know, some kind of an experience. Oh, my. Let's keep reading. And when they were past the first and the second ward, somehow, however, the gates were locked. They came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Is this a miracle? Is this, look at me, is this a miracle in answer to prayer? Boy, there's just a whole group of miracles. His chains fell off. Where were the guards at? They were all unconscious. The doors opened to him. I mean, this is spectacular. Why? You say, Pastor, that whole church. I used to hear this. It was said of Spurgeon, the reason Spurgeon was so successful is he had this group praying for him. By the way, Peter had somebody praying for him, we think. Let's keep reading. It says, the gate opened of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to him, Peter now starts to believe that he's actually out of prison. He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came into the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together. Yeah. And they were praying, but they were also. Come ask you a question. Have you ever prayed and doubted at the same time? Here you go, folks. You got it right here. It says, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel, a young lady, came to the hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. I don't even know what that means. You're back from the dead. I'm so happy, but you can't come in. I'm not sure what that means. It says she ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, you're crazy. You're loco. You got some rocks loose in your head. Wait a minute. Look at me. Weren't they praying? Friends, do you realize if God ever answered your prayers, most of you would pass out? I mean, most of the time we pray because we think we're supposed to. How does God work? God works in the silence. God works through our supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer, meaning all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. I mean, we're always supposed to be praying, but you're crazy. You're mad. And he doesn't mean angry. Crazy is the idea. It says, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, well, still not him, it's an angel. Let me ask you, which would you think it might be, Peter or an angel? If somebody showed up at your door, who do you think it's going to be? They would rather think it was an angel, which I haven't seen too many recently, other than Peter. Oh, my goodness. You say, does God work this way? That's, yes. He goes on to say, but Peter, he continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. So they go from you're crazy to it's an angel to they couldn't talk. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison and said, go show thee things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. I just want to say this. I got to hurry. Are you listening? It's really simple. How does God work? God works in the what? Silence. You're going to have a lot of silence in life. There's going to be times, friend, when a church service or when you're at home, you feel like you're in the presence of God. And there's going to be other times, no matter how much you pray, no matter how much you beg God, it's just going to be silence. Sometimes God works through our supplications, our prayers, our intercessions. That's a beautiful thing. That's a very beautiful thing. and it's always nice. Ask, and it shall be given thee. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. That's God's norm. That's one of God's ways. Well, verse 18. We have to hurry. We're almost done. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. By the way, what happens when you lose the people you're guarding? Verse 19. And when Herod sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should get a vacation with a pay raise. They should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. So you have the third. Now we come to the third part. I have said from the text, God works in the silence. God also works through our supplication. Please look, one last thing about this. Please hear me. But not like this. At 65 years old, I have never seen this happen. I pray because I'm spiritual. God answers my prayer. It's never that direct. God answers prayer. God normally answers prayers for a group of people. Or if I can say this, God will answer the prayers of a child who doesn't have all the ulterior motives. Does he just answer your prayers because you're so special? I'll give you the answer, no. But he will answer your prayers and my prayers, and more importantly, our prayer, because he's merciful, he's good, he's gracious, he's loving, he's our heavenly Father. Well, we come to verse 20, and we do have to hurry. We might be a couple minutes late. Christy already has the platform about to collapse. Verse 20, and Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. Those are the Phoenicians. They're the people that created Carthage and all the Phoenician settlements all over the Mediterranean world. It says, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country, obviously. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. Biden's first presidential address, I saw a reporter say, this is the greatest presidential address, greater, listen, than Lincoln. Thank you for whoever's ringing their phone. Must be 7 o'clock. Thank you. Look at me, friends. What was that reporter really saying? The same thing these people were saying. They were what? Flattery. They were lying. By the way, read any speech in the last 30 years outside of Reagan. Most of them are incoherent. Really? A great speech? Oh, Herod, you're the greatest. Well, that's not the end of the story. So verse 22, the people gave a great shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord did what? So he had killed somebody else and God killed him. Why? Because he gave not God the glory. And he was He was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Josephus has a record of this also, a little bit different, but within the broad same context. I would say to you, thirdly, God works in the silence. He works through supplication, prayer, intercessions, those sorts of things. Thirdly, he works out of his sovereignty. Sometimes God simply does something. We don't ask. There was no Christians begging God, please kill Herod. God just did it. Now, when you go through life, how's God going to work in your life? Please look at me. A lot of silence. A lot of prayer. And sometimes God just acts. I got to tell one story. It's my favorite story and my least favorite story. When I was in Bible college, I repeatedly heard students that said, God just sent me money to pay my bill. God put money in our box. God put money in the mail. God sent money to the school. And I remember thinking, man. And I remember praying and saying, Lord, If we had a need, please meet our needs. Do you know what God did for me every time? He gave me a day of overtime. Was God answering prayer? Was it a miracle? I don't know, but I will tell you this, and this is the truth. There was a period when hospitals in 1982 had a tough time. DRGs, you're all too young. Hospitals started closing all across America. All the small ones did. They're now nursing homes, pretty much. They came to us and said, every one of the employees in the lab has to take one day off per payday. So we were going to get 9 days of work as opposed to 10. I promise you, I cut back. During that period of time, for 6 months, I only worked 11 out of 10 days every 2 weeks. Some of you are like, I worked overtime every week I was there. You say, why? Because that's how God met my needs. Was he working? Sometimes in the silence. Most of the time through supplication, work, prayer, all of that. Sometimes out of his sovereignty. That's how God works for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for this good night. May you bless our time together in Jesus' name.